When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show. Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
When did we become machines that we get triggered and we can't control ourselves?
Great question.
I do have a
point of contention.
Many numerous little questions confront us. Should the man rise when he accepts his cup of tea? May lump sugar be taken with the fingers? No. Is it good form to accept a second cup? Now, should the napkin be entirely unfolded, or should the centerpiece be allowed to remain? It is so easy to commit embarrassing blunders, but etiquette tells us just what is expected of us and guards us from all humiliation and discomfort. Yes, boring. Let us switch to some poetry. There was an old man from the Cape.
Welcome to Point of Contention, five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper, Jade Hoyt is producer. Coming up on the show,
Luka's fat, Zion's fat, Dame may be gone, rookie of the year odds, plus we figure out who the best team in the NBA is. All right, in this corner, from the soft streets of Longmeadow, Massachusetts, Celtics beat reporter and future author of the book From the Mid-Ange. Annie Ainge's relentless pursuit of mediocrity. It's Jay the Kid King. I'm going to get angered by his answer, I'm sure. But Jay, best Christmas movie of all time?
That's a extremely good question. I'm going to go with It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my God.
It's a Wonderful Life.
There is not a chance you watch it this month.
I watch it every single Christmas Eve.
Oh my God!
I am a sucker Jimmy for
Stewart.
It's a Wonderful
Fraud.
Life.
That
Fraud.
Is so George, New England, oh dude. That's so New England.
That's not just New England. That's worldwide.
Clarence, Wilson, come here, Clarence. Wilson, get me back.
That's the Bob Cousy of Christmas movies.
Please. I cry every single time I watch that movie. I've got an emotional side.
People only gave a shit about it 60 years ago. That's the Bob Cousy of Christmas movies. Oh, my God. You cry every time you watch it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's Not My Girl. Like, that's a movie to cry about.
And handing him money.
He needs his glasses, James. He needs his glasses.
I cried as like a 7-year-old.
My Girl was the dumbest shit, man.
Dude, the funeral thing? Home.
That was
sad. If only it had somebody talking like this, and then we could have had Macaulay Culkin saved from the bees.
It's actually not a bad James.
Yeah,
that's actually
good.
Pretty good. And in this corner, from Flint, Michigan, Detroit legend and future author of the book Stan, How Eminem Taught Van Gundy to Rap, James Edwards III. James, I don't know why I'm asking you this. Beastie Boys or Eminem?
Eminem. What did you think was going to be his answer?
I don't know. I don't know why the question's in there, James.
But to be fair, Eminem after...
That's because that's his biggest influence he cites as Beastie Boys.
Is it really?
It's got to be, right? They're good. I like them, but...
Eminem outside... I mean, I didn't love Relapse, but like going back now... It's fine because everything else after that was trash. So Eminem, first three albums, one of the best three album starts in rap history. If he would have just stopped there, the conversation on him ends differently. I mean, he's still fine, but you know what it is.
He should have stopped at 8 Mile.
He should have stopped at 8 Mile.
You stop at 8 Mile. Yeah. You end on those battles.
You're the goat of all goats. Yeah. Yes,
absolutely. But he kept
big.
It's all right. JC's made like 4 trash albums since the Black Album when he retired, so I think we're good.
Oh, yeah, I just said stop with the Skylar Grey if you're listening, Eminem. Enough Skylar Grey songs on every album. Thank you.
James, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Well, funny story. I actually just watched Edward Scissorhands for the first time last night. My whole life, I thought it was a horror movie, so I never watched it. Caught the middle of it, and I was like, what is this? She's like, Edward Scissorhands. I'm like, this is it? Like, this is why I was afraid of this? Good movie. I just want to put that out there. I think it's based around Christmas.
Great movie.
Sort of.
Yeah, like he was saying.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
But are you calling Edward Scissorhands a Christmas movie?
I mean, it's based around Christmas, and it gave me a reason to admit that I, 29 years later, and I just watched it for the first time. But Home Alone.
Josh Hart said Home Alone is not a Christmas movie, which is very confusing.
All of them are Christmas
that.
Movies. It's right. Based They're on all, a family yeah. going away for Christmas.
Yeah, Josh right. Hart, what the hell kind of tweet yeah. was
What are you talking about, fam?
Maybe he's maybe he's not getting enough food to his brain because
all right, Jade, start the clock. Speaking of fat Luca whining and dining.
Whining with an H.
May I present to you my spy in the Ministry of Defense, Fat Bastard.
First things first, where's your shit at?
Maverick superstar Luka Doncic finally acknowledged that his conditioning has got to be better. On TNT broadcast of Mavs 102-99 loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Tuesday night, Doncic's weight and conditioning were a frequent subject on the broadcast. Reggie Miller criticized Doncic, saying he was plodding up and down the court and has got to trim down. There is not a worse maybe waddling. Waddling and plodding are the two worst ways to be described moving as a fat person.
Or wheezing.
Jade, play the tape. Or wheezing. Jade, play the tape.
This is the heaviest I've probably ever seen Luka look right now. And I know he's had a long year with the Olympics, but look how he's plodding up and down. He's not really, really running.
And you're wondering, the injuries, the thumb, the ankle, the knee.
According to reports, Luka reported to training camp weighing more than 260 pounds for the second consecutive year.
That's a lot of pounds.
That's a lot, man. Yeah. He's listed at 230. Jade, clip in Liar Liar Jim Carrey saying, yeah, in your bra.
Now let's see. Weight 105? Yeah, in your bra.
Your Honor, I object.
You would.
Bastard.
Hey, quiet. Overrule.
Quote, I had a long summer, said Doncic. A foot-long summer, I'd say. This comes on the heels of head coach Jason Kidd criticizing Luka for complaining to the refs too much. Jason Kidd's these days.
I don't know. I had a long summer.
Everyone's dark horse MVP choice just 2 years ago. Doncic is averaging 25 points, 7.9 rebounds, 8.5 assists for the 11-12 Mavs, slightly down from his numbers from previous two seasons. He's shooting 44% from the field. One last note, he has been dealing with an ankle injury, so that's important. But, Jay, let's cut the fat here. Or let's chew the fat. Let's do anything with the fat here. Is this perfect storm of weight gain, complaining, and injury cause for concern in the long run with Luka? Or is Luka going through a teenage midlife crisis?
Well, here's the thing. He's still averaging like 26, 9, and 8, or whatever it is. He's still going to be one of the best players in the league. The only reason this is a cause for concern is because Luka has a choice to decide, do I want to be one of the best players in the NBA for a long time, or do I want to be an absolute all-timer with a chance to win a ton of championships, with a chance to drag teams to the title, with a chance to win multiple MVPs, because that's the type of talent he is. Mm-hmm. And if he gets in elite shape, and if he gets rid of the fat, and if he, takes another level as a finisher, as a three-point shooter, as a defender especially, then there is no limit for him. And that's why this is disappointing. It's not like he's playing poorly. It's not like he's holding back the Mavericks in any way.
Right.
It's not like the weight has made him a scrub by any means. It's just, this is a guy with a chance to be one of the very best players ever. And like, he has a chance to crack the top 10 of all time players. Like, he's that talented. Ooh. He's that good. Ooh. He's that young. And for him to just kind of veer away from the proper conditioning and taking care of his body, it's definitely disappointing. The funniest part of this was him being like, yeah, I had a long summer, so that's why I'm fat. It's like, your long summer was playing basketball in the Olympics. Like, that should not make you fat.
James, I liked when they asked Jason Kidd about it last night. He said, well, he's been this weight since I got here, so this is all I know, essentially, right? Yeah. Like, that's a funny way of saying, yeah, this dude was fat when I showed
100%.
Up.
100%. And listen, I think Luka has, I think it's shown more as of late, but I think there were always kind of diva-ish tendencies since he's kind of took the league by storm. And he, not to say he doesn't, like Jay said, he busts his ass, he plays hard, his numbers are good to great, but you definitely see a guy at times just based on the officiating, this weight thing, other small instances throughout his career, like definitely a guy that got the crown a little too soon. Almost kind of like we talk about it all the time when Trae Young said, yeah, it's kind of hard to get through the regular season after what we just went through. And it's kind of, he's kind of from that cloth. And it's like, I think that's just what naturally happens when guys are anointed so early in their career. Like, I think they don't have to learn what it takes, or maybe not even care at this stage what it takes to be what Jay said, like an all-time great. Like, people are just complacent once they get the money and are already getting the applause and being lauded everywhere they go. Now it's like, well, what do you want to be? We all know if Luka gets to like a certain weight, whatever that weight is, we can all vision it in our head what it would look like. That's one of the most dangerous men to ever touch a basketball, I think, possibly.
Yeah. And Jay, I think it's the idea that, like, yeah, he did have maybe a longer layoff and it's not the proper training you would normally do in the offseason. Sure. Like, I can be open to that idea. But you he still came in 260 plus.
260?
And that's big, right? For 6'8", 260, like, that's a big dude. And then on top of that, Jay, like, yeah, his numbers are fine, but this isn't the Luka we expected to see this season, right? Like I think it's safe to say he's been disappointing so far. Not that it's going to be necessarily bad all season, but he's been disappointing so far.
Yeah, I think maybe he has to deal with something like this. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was the MVP in the EuroLeague at like 18 years old. Mm-hmm. He came in the NBA and instantly dusted everyone. His second year in the NBA, he averaged close to 38-8. Like, he's just been on a ridiculous trajectory. And so maybe he needs a little bit of, not failure, but a year when things don't go the way he wants and people are talking about his weight. And all of a sudden he's got this criticism and he's got to look himself in the mirror and think, yeah, that dude's a little too big.
Yeah.
and he needs to get in shape. And if he does, like, there's no one who can stop him right now at 260. If he gets to 240, then
good night.
Good luck. Good luck. Yeah. It's also ironic that I'm talking about somebody's weight. I literally ordered Taco Bell to my hotel room last night.
Fam, what city are you in?
I'm in LA.
And you ordered Taco Bell?
Yeah, there's taco trucks probably all around.
I'm out in the middle of nowhere, man. I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Like an hour away from LA.
Why?
I did a drunk spelling bee the other night. Jay came out. How mad was your Uber driver when he found out you were taking you back to Redondo?
I swear to God, he looked at the phone to see where he was going, and then he looked back at me like he was going to kill me. And it was like close to an hour trip.
Of course it was. Whoa. And then that means he had to get back.
Yeah, he was ready to mutilate me.
Man. I was curious about that wallpaper behind you. I was like, that doesn't seem downtown
not
LA.
It's not the kid's apartment.
Yeah, it's not the kid's vibe right there. All right. Speaking of not the vibe to have, take two. End of an era. More trouble in Portlandia as they keep things weird. Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum has been diagnosed with a collapsed right lung. He'll be sidelined indefinitely, the team said Tuesday. I contend there's no worse sounding injury than collapsed lung. McCollum was injured in the Blazers' 145-117 loss to the Celtics on Saturday. McCollum's injury is one of several to befall the struggling Blazers. Damian Lillard has missed a few games with lower abdominal tendinopathy. Anthony Simons is out with a right ankle sprain, and forward Nasir Little has missed four games with a left ankle sprain. Meanwhile, speculation continues to mount on where Damian Lillard, or literally any Blazer, past or present, may end up at the trade deadline just weeks away. On Wednesday's Hoops Adjacent episode, Blazers reporter Jason Quick reflected on this end of an era in Portland and spoke to the importance of Dame as a central figure in Portland's basketball culture. Jade, play that tape.
If you're them, kind of get a feel for where this is going with him. Because, you know, he's just not the type of guy that is going to say, I have given up on this franchise. He just can't do it, you know, and credit to him. I actually admire that in him and in Beal also, that they won't walk away when it would be convenient for them to do so. But then how do you kind of judge whether it's time to make the move or not?
Yeah, I don't know, David. I think that's the big question, and that's the crossroads we've all reached, and what the franchise is probably huddling and trying to figure out right now.
That's it. Now on the spot. 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. What are you laying?
Springs. Steel springs.
What are they going to do?
Hold me down the track.
How fast can you run?
As fast as a leopard.
How fast are you going to run?
As fast as a leopard.
Then let's see you do it.
And I'm sure Joe will have, you know, meetings with Dame and try to get a feel on what's going on. But I think also they have to look at the organization first, before Dame. Obviously they should consider what Dame is thinking and think about it, but their number one priority should be the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
And I think that gets lost. I think there's a lot of politicking and, you know, the way this business works now with agents and all that having their say and shaping narratives and leaking stuff. The team and the organization should be number one.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big juicy investment. Now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
It's all come to a head and fast, James. We've seen this past week. Chauncey Billups criticizing the team for a lack of heart, and the writing is now clearly on the wall. With more than 100 free agents who signed this offseason becoming trade eligible next week, Portland's options in a trade are about to become more plentiful. So, James, I ask you, where may Dame land if he goes anywhere? Boston, Philly, Minnesota, Cleveland, the Pistons? What's he going to do?
I'd love for it to be Detroit. That'd be fun. I'm trying to be on Dame time. Listen, so the obvious, everyone talks New York, Philly. I have one that I don't know if it's been tossed around. I have two. Brooklyn. Kyrie. Okay. For Dame.
The fuck would they want Kyrie?
Because I don't think Portland is in a situation. I'll say this. I would be very curious to see what a full teardown would look like in Portland. How supportive would that be by that fan base? Not necessarily like Dame's gone. Like, I think they can stomach Dame being gone. Stuff has been so wild for the last year and a half. I think that's fine. I'm not sure. And it's a great basketball town. I love Portland. Just there, it's my second favorite city on the circuit. So don't get me wrong. But I'm just very curious. I don't know how much they would be able to stomach a rebuild of epic proportions.
Right.
And I think a Kyrie seems very Portland without still kind of not being Portland in a weird way. I don't know. Like, I feel like he would enjoy being there. And obviously, like, it's a like-for-like swap in some ways. But then the other team,
I would love to see Memphis go for it.
With Dame?
With Dame.
They've got Ja.
I know.
What?
Play them together.
Both of them?
What?
Play them together.
Okay.
I would like a little more. I want a little more scoring punch from Memphis. I'd like to see them take a swing.
Real quick, City of Portland. When you do scream at us on Twitter for what James said, if you would just look, it's asking a lot. Just take my handle out of the tweet and take Jay's handle out of the tweet and just leave athletic.
No, leave me in there. I want to see all the goals.
All right, Jay wants to see it. I just take at Talk Hoops out. I just take that out of the reply. I don't want to see all that. I don't support any of what James just said. But Memphis, you want to see them two together.
I want to see something shocking, and I want to see Memphis go for it. I want to see.
Wow, that is shocking.
I think Memphis is close. I don't know. Like, I think they are. I think they need a wing, and that Dame wouldn't help it. But just off the top of my head, I would just love to see those two together with Jaren. But I still think it's going to end up being Philly or New York, realistically.
Jay, do you have a more ridiculous suggestion?
I might. No, I want to see him in Denver. I want to see a trade centered around Jamal Murray. I want to see.
I mean, you can't do that with that knee rehab, right?
Why not? Portland doesn't need to win right away. They'd probably prefer being as bad as possible this year and then getting a brand new Jamal Murray next year. I just think the Nuggets have had just a brutal run of luck lately. They clearly need to replenish the talent around Jokic. Yeah. They are beating teams by 13.2 points per 100 possessions with him on the court and getting beat by 15.2 points per 100 possessions when he's off the court.
It's like a 30-point swing. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's just insane. And so he's dragging them right now, dragging them to 500, dragging them to whatever they'll be. I just think if you put another legitimate superstar next to Jokic, you have a chance. Mm-hmm. Because he's that good. He's going to give you a floor that's so high. And someone else needs to raise their ceiling. And I think if they can somehow get Dame, I think they give themselves a chance. I think they just have to go out and get some defensive-minded wings. The offense would be perfectly fine.
I just want to remind the City of Portland, when you do tweet us, please just take at Talk Hoops out of there to yell at Jay and to yell at James for both of those suggestions. The Philly thing, I almost wonder if Portland would just be like out of spite. Like, nah.
I hope
so. We're not going to do that with you, Daryl Morey, right?
I hope they do because I don't have like any beef at all with Daryl Morey. But for him to have this dick swinging contest and look like he might win at the end of it, like, I just don't want that to happen. I don't know. Like, for him to call a shot, like, I'm just going to sit here and somebody's going to trade with me.
I just remember that you thought he's 6'10".
Fam! He's like... Then I sent you guys the photo. Who was he?
He's like 6'3", 6'4". He's a tall dude, but he's not 6'10".
I'd say 6'5", 6'6".
By the way, it's harder to come up with a Dame trade than I feel like it should be. Like, I was scouring through all the teams. I was like, there aren't a lot of perfect fits that have enough assets and
to go
that
get
need
him,
a
right?
point guard. Yeah. Like, the Warriors, would that be enough if they load up with Wiseman and their two recent lottery picks?
Why do they need Dame, though? Like, that's...
They don't, but...
Yeah.
That'd be fun as hell.
But he's out there, you know? Like, and I do think that the Warriors must be considering whether to just go all in now, because obviously they have the young guys in Wiseman, and they have these assets.
Yeah.
But they also have a team that's ready right now to compete for a championship. So I think there must be a pull for them to go all in and push those chips in now.
I'm not saying a deal's easy. Like, the two places I would want to see Dame, regardless of what that trade has to look like, is, well, I guess three places. I actually would like to see him with Embiid in Philly. So there is part of me that really wants to see that. But I'd love to see him in Toronto with that organization, with Masai Ujiri building around him. And I'd love to see him on Dallas next to Luka.
Yeah.
See what that looks like, right? Like, they need more creation outside of Luka's presence.
What was our word?
They need more balance.
Yeah.
Would Miami be able to mount a push?
I think they got the
stuff. Like around Tyler.
I don't think they have
Tyler the Hero.
Picks.
Of,
the picks would hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hero and Lowry and.
Would you give up Duncan? Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. If you, if you could get Dame, Jimmy, and Bam, that's
yeah.
That's fun as hell.
Yeah. Once again, City of Portland, just take at Talk Hoops out.
Portland, yeah, we don't want this to happen. We want, I want Dame there forever.
Speaking of, take three. How much does Zion weigh? More news from the front of
more than 260 players. More.
Again, Jade, yeah, in his bra. On a recent podcast, ESPN's Tim McMahon, a.k.a. Band McMahon, reported that Zion Williamson does indeed weigh a robust 330 pounds.
He's Band McMahon, he's the fattest dude in all the land. You got Texas blood as thick as mud, he's Band McMahon.
I love that Tim McMahon has just become the weight. he's just out here exposing the fat dudes in the NBA.
That is gumbo size, ladies and gentlemen.
Nobody tell McMahon how much I weigh.
Quote, the number I've heard from several places about Zion is 70 pounds higher than 260. You do the math. The notorious math hater stated. This comes just days after a picture surface of a rather plump Williamson alongside this Pelican sidelines. Sources did not confirm if Zion was wearing one of those, you know, nutty professor suits or anything under that red sweatshirt. The Pelicans have poured resources, time, and energy to protect Zion's health. They have changed members of the staff and even changed some of their culinary practices in an attempt to support him, which is good. He does seem to need that. Amid concerns about his health, some are calling for him to sit for an entire season. The playoff run in the cards for a team that has their big guy literally sitting. Fat chance of that happening, guys. So, for some frame of reference, Shaq played at 21 years old at 325 pounds. Shaq.
Yeah.
7'1" Shaq. Yeah. After playing a combined 85 games over his first two seasons, Zion has yet to play a single minute this season as he recovers from that broken foot. Jay, that big fat grin off your face. How serious a concern is this now becoming? Zion can't seem to get this in order, despite getting his order in.
This is far more serious of a concern than the Luka stuff. Because with Luka, he's still on the court. He's still playing extremely well. He's still an all-NBA type player. It's holding back his potential, but it's not keeping him off the court. It's not ruining his career. With Zion, he's at the stage now where people are starting to wonder if he'll become an all-time what if. Zion could stay on the court? What if he could avoid injuries? And all the foot injuries, the lower body injuries, this stuff is all related to the weight.
Yeah.
And so that's
been
the word.
For a while.
We're going to get in trouble for body shaming on this episode.
I don't care what guys look like.
They are beautiful in their own way, right. Okay?
But you have to be in a
I'm
only discussing how it impacts their basketball that these guys are overweight. That's it.
I'm fat. Jay's fat. It's fine. We can say this stuff. James, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, James.
Let me show you my belly. Everything else is skinny. Let me show you this belly.
He's got that skinny fat look.
Bastard. First things first. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly. Come on. You're lucky, wee man.
Can I have a hug?
Dr. Evil, let me make you a deal, all right? You get the mojo, you keep your money, and I'll get your baby.
Right.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby
back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
I want my baby back, baby back. Now on the spot. One, two, one, two, one, two.
Excuse me.
What are your legs?
Springs.
Chili.
Steel springs.
What are they going to do?
Hurl me down the track.
How fast can you run?
As fast as a leopard.
How fast are you going to run?
As fast as a leopard.
Then let's see you do it.
But yeah, so with Zion, it's like, it's at the place where it's derailing his entire career.
Yeah, it's not keeping him from being better. It's keeping him from being on the court. Yep. That's the concern, right? And I've seen stuff. I've heard whispers of, like, not he would be out this long, but James, that it would take him 3 months to work this weight off.
No,
like people are estimating, like, that, like, that's significant for a professional athlete.
100%. And that's if he takes it 100% seriously, which right. he hasn't. Yeah.
And he lives in a tough city to take nutrition seriously. I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh my
and
god,
I can't fucking wait to get to New Orleans.
I spent a week there once and gained 10 pounds.
It's impossible
not to. Yeah. Oh my god.
So that didn't do him any favors. I have two quick stories on Zion and then a theory. The first one is, I'll leave with this because the other one leads into my theory. Zion's rookie year, we were in some city and an opposing GM was also in the gym because their team, it was a back-to-back for the road team. I can't remember who it was. And he came in the media room and talked to us. And me and a couple other media guys were having a conversation. We're like, would any GM have taken Ja over Zion if the blowback from the fan base wouldn't have been enormous? And that we asked the GM this. He's like, I think there are some GMs who would have taken Ja over Zion if it wasn't so etched in stone that they would be, that he was the number one guy, that he was this transformative talent, because there were concerns with the lower body injuries, the weight. And I just always kept that in the back of my head. Like, Zion was going to go number one no matter what. Because we all know if he's healthy, it's ridiculous how high the talent goes. But people worried about the availability, and best ability is availability. Now, the other day I was talking to Will Gilroy, our Pelicans writer. I was like, Will, call me crazy if I am, but is there any way that the Pelicans would start entertaining trade calls at this point? Because I'm of the belief he's young. Yeah. I just wouldn't be surprised if he's damaged goods at this point, whether it's not being able to get the weight down. Maybe there's something there, but the lower body stuff with the weight, like, I wouldn't be mad at New Orleans if they, like, what can we get for Zion at 365? Like, let's see what we can get for him.
Yeah, like, so.
And my theory is he's being overweight so he can get traded.
Okay, goodness.
I love that theory.
That's a wild theory.
Or I'm saying once he leaves New Orleans, we'll see the most fit Zion we've ever seen.
City of New Orleans. this theory does not fly with
me. Yeah, AJ.
Okay, I'm out of
AJ,
this.
AJ, can we not drop this podcast till Saturday night when I get back from New Orleans, actually? I should have thought about that. Damn.
Jay, just cut off. Cut the first three
Pelicans
seconds.
Fans,
just cut
James
it off.
Will be in town.
Intro, outro, that's it. 6 minute pod. No, like, the foot thing is concerning, right? Because we've seen careers derail. Like, I'm way more concerned about a foot injury like that than I am about, like, him blowing out his knee.
Yep.
Way more concerned about that, because I do think it ends up causing more problems for you. I think we have to remember, like, last year that dude was a monster.
So good.
Monster.
Yeah.
No one's ever had a second season like he's had in terms of scoring and efficiency. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think this is a little bit of an overreaction, but the pictures are concerning. The injury is concerning. And all the whispers about, well, now they're trying to get this done and they're trying to get this in order for him and they're trying to set up this system. You shouldn't have to set up that kind of system, but you do. So it's, you know, it's not quite as extreme, but, like, it's a little bit like Embiid in Philly at first, right?
100%, that's a good,
the whole Shirley Temple gate and all that stuff. Yeah. Like there was a lot of stuff there
the
about
Chick-fil-A's
his diet
on the stretch table.
Exactly. Like, there was some concern about that. And so, like, yeah, like, it's not the first time we'll get this. It's not the last time. When Luka shows up 300 pounds next year, we'll be wondering about this as well. But I think with Zion, I do think we're a little quick to just now write him off as, like, oh, fat guy injured. And last year he was historic.
Fair.
And he didn't know. Like, that's the thing. Like, he still doesn't really know what he's doing in the NBA.
Right.
No, that's fair. And he's that good.
And coaches are still trying to figure out what to do with him. He's just a singular talent. Like, they were running him at point guard. He scored, like, 80% of his points from inside the paint.
By the way, third coach in three years, right? I mean, he hasn't played for Willie Green yet, but third coach in 3 years. Like, that's instability.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, at the same time, he's got to take control right now.
Absolutely,
And get his career on the right track. Because he is that singular talent. And he is that guy who is otherworldly around the rim, is has better body control than anyone his size, maybe ever.
And I would say for sure ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think Drew Holiday said it once. He's like Tony Parker at 300 pounds. You know,
I love
like,
that.
Like that's how he finishes around the rim.
Yeah.
And so he is just this ridiculous talent, but lose 40 pounds, 50 pounds, whatever it is, get a nutritionist, get in the gym, stop eating late night. And I say this as a man who, like I said, ordered Taco Bell last night.
Yeah. By the way, I did 100 pushups this morning, so I'm on the
Let's
right
go.
Track. I'm feeling good. Yeah.
Let's go.
I did 25. I was like, oh, I'm going to do 25 pushups in each radio break. And I did it for the first four radio breaks. I was like, I'm kind of tired. I'm not going to do this shit the rest of the show. But I did it.
That's a lot. Yeah,
you're going to shame me into hitting the hotel gym. I can't have Zach working out harder.
I also ate a donut and a half this morning. So
you deserve that, though.
Yeah, I did. I earned that shit.
I agree. All right.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Speaking of earning stuff, take 4. NBA title odds. Get your wallets out.
Nope, that's not right, Jade. Do this again. Yeah.
Take 4. Rookie of the year odds. Get your wallets out. That's right, folks. There is no better way to get through the cold winter than putting a little scratch down on an NBA game, settling in and screaming at your TV, thinking the players will respond. Get the goddamn rebound! Last week, we did MVP. This week, it's Rookie of the Year. My neighbors must think I'm an insane person. First up, we have Evan Mobley coming in at +225. Followed by your boy, James K. Don't call me Richie Cunningham.
Hello, Bing Bong. We never got to finish our game last time. We got trouble here, gentlemen? You gonna save this kid again, Fonz?
Maybe. It's cool, Fonz. I'll handle these clowns.
Hey, you heard him. It's his fight. Hey, it's me and Bing Bong alone.
The name is Richie.
There's a modern reference for you. At +260. Scotty Barnes also at +260. Jalen Green +1200. Josh Giddey +1600. And Franz Honus Wagner at +3000. Since Marcus is not here, we'll use his $500 from all those book sales. I had to buy one at one point. To secure the wager, James, who's got your bet for Rookie of the Year right now?
I think it's Evan Mobley. But what I will say, Evan Mobley has been fantastic, both sides of the ball, everything we thought he would be right away. I was a little worried after Summer League where it definitely looked like that frame was not going to hold up. That I don't know what happened between then and the start of the season. He doesn't look much different, but he's handling it well. I mean, this is a guy we could talk about on making one of the all defensive teams as a rookie. Legitimately a special specimen. What I will say, there's still part of me that thinks, can he get through a full season? He already has missed time for, I forgot what it was. Wasn't a foot, was it? Or wasn't a sprain, whatever it was. I don't
thumb maybe
yeah,
or something.
Thumb.
Yeah.
So I want to see it. Cause I still am the small frame still kind of worries me. Cade's been balling as of late. He's averaging 22-7-3 on 51-50 over his last 4, which is exactly a month since he's got NBA experience. He was gone till October 19th.
Yeah. He seems to be,
he's starting to get into it. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So I think it's going to be neck and neck, I think, between those two. I think Evan holds on because Cleveland's better. And, I mean, he's just, like I said, he could be an all-defensive player. But I want to give a shout-out to Franz Wagner, who I was like, this is him and Josh Giddey. I'm just not getting behind. And Franz has been absolutely hooping. So I want to send apologies to the Michigan Wolverine as much as it pains me to say.
Yeah. I noticed a little theme there with not believing Giddey and Bogner. Dude,
Jay, really quick.
Josh Giddey was here the other day.
Probably not a big Corey Kispert guy either.
No, I like Kispert. I respect the sweat. I don't know. I respect the curly hair swag. I respect it. Giddey, though, fam, I don't care what his numbers look like. I don't care. He looks like he can't play basketball. And I'll just leave it at that.
Wow.
It's so stiff. Wow. He plays so stiff.
I don't like the way he dribbles. It's so right? It looks weird. But I don't know. He's balling.
No, he's playing
bit,
well.
You know?
It just... I'm getting a bucket. I'll just leave it at that. Go ahead, Jay.
Bet here is Cade Cunningham. Right now, Evan Mobley would be my favorite. Scotty Barnes would probably be my second. But the bet is Cade Cunningham because he's just hitting his stride. Mm-hmm. He is going to put up a ton of stats over the rest of the season. He's going to be more efficient than he's been so far. And you can just see him starting to become comfortable, starting to grow into his role. And he has huge responsibilities for that Pistons team. Like Evan Mobley plays a lot of defense, but Evan Mobley is like on offense, mostly a finisher, you know, like Scotty Barnes is kind of a do everything guy where Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam, they have greater responsibilities on offense. Cade Cunningham's a guy for Detroit.
Yeah. And his teammates are, I think, starting to realize it now too.
He's the centerpiece for them. So it's tougher for him to get his stats because every team is trying to take him away. He walked into the NBA and got double teams immediately. Mm-hmm. Like after not having preseason, he just walked in and had double teams.
Not today.
So it's taken him a little while to adjust to that, but you can see it. And he's a guy who just thinks the game at such a high level, has such a high IQ. And I think over the rest of this season, he's going to outperform the rest of the competitors for that Rookie of the Year. And I know James wanted to say it, but James was like, I can't be a homer out here. I got to give it to Evan Mobley.
But he had to shit on Josh Giddey real quick.
I'm sorry, Josh Giddey.
That's Josh Giddey.
We got to get you some DW40, bro.
I think the Scotty Barnes disrespect here is ridiculous. Scotty Barnes has been so good.
He's been awesome. And there's no disrespect. Yeah. He's been awesome. He's going to continue to be awesome, if you ask me. But I just think Cade... His ceiling here is a lot higher. He's going to end up with more points, more assists, everything.
It is a three-person race, though, right? Yep. I mean, maybe Franz Wagner can get into the mix a little bit at some point, but I don't think he's got that kind of role to put up the numbers, even though he's playing really well. Mm-hmm. It does feel like it's just these three, and especially now that Cade, like you mentioned, like Cade over the last week or two is really getting going. Yeah. And like finally like finishing and making shots, making threes, and like he's not gonna shoot 50% from three.
But he won't shoot 17% like he was to start. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like he's going to like he just looks more comfortable out there now.
Yep. No, and I agree. I think those three, and I'm gonna throw Franz in there just because of the disrespect I showed him early. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. In this class, we talked about it. Like, even the guys that aren't necessarily in that running, like I have fun watching James Bouknight when he does play. I like Kuminga. There's a lot of guys that I think are going to be really good players. This class was as advertised so far.
And then Jalen Green's a bucket too.
He's
got to figure out the shot a little bit and become more efficient.
It would be nice if they just put John Wall on the court and helped him get some buckets, right? Like John Wall would set up Jalen Green so well. Like you want some development, get a point guard out there. Like I'm fine with the Kevin Porter Jr. experiment at point guard.
Yep.
I'm fine with it. Like I think it's good for his overall development, but man, do some favors for Jalen Green here.
I agree.
Just do some favors here.
And I miss John James Wall a little bit.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I like watching.
And if he looks bad, then send his ass back to the bench. You're right. But, you know. Yeah. I think we could all use a little bit more Josh or John Wall in this to get Jalen Green and Josh Christopher and Alperen Sengun and all these guys just some easy buckets in their development.
Agreed.
All right. Take five. Last week, we saw arguably the two best teams in the NBA go back-to-back as the Suns and Warriors split a home-and-away series. Both teams at the time of this recording are 20-4, but Vegas still believes in the Nets as they're the favorite to win it all. And let's not forget the Bucks. The Lakers still lingering atop some betting boards because, you know, LeBron and betting public and our very own power rankings. And by ours, I mean mine. My power rankings, the greatest power rankings that ever existed after Mark Stein. They had the Suns at number one, followed by the Warriors, and then the Nets, and then the Bucks. Of course, health has been a factor across the board, but I'm curious, Jay, as of this moment, who do you think is the best team in the NBA? And does that mean they will win the championship?
Right now, it's the Suns. They've played the best basketball. When Devin Booker and Chris Paul have both been on the court, they've been the best team. I don't think they're going to win a championship. I think the Warriors, when Klay gets back, are going to be an absolute force. I think the Nets, as Harden continues to round into shape, like they're 17-7. They've been playing poorly.
Yeah.
You know? Like they're just scratching out wins. They're at the top of the Eastern Conference, even though they haven't really figured everything out yet. So I think their ceiling is higher than just about anyone else's. I think the Bucks are still extremely formidable. They've battled health. They've battled a lot of different things, and they're at 16-9. So, like, the Suns and Warriors have been by far the two best teams so far this season. I just don't think when it gets to the end of the season that that'll be the case. I think a lot of other teams are going to catch up to those two over the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree with Jay. For me, I'm going to go with the Warriors just because, they have the best offensive player and arguably the best defensive player. Andrew Wiggins has been balling for quite some time now. They're going to get Klay back. The young guys have worked in well. And like we said earlier, like, they're scary now, and there's like a big move that could happen if they wanted to. Like, they could get another significant piece. So I'm going to roll with the Warriors. Phoenix is fantastic. Phoenix has been fun to watch. Obviously, Milwaukee, I think, is still like one of those teams that when we're talking about who's going to win the title, like, they need to be in that conversation. I don't necessarily think they're one of the best teams now. I agree with Jay. Brooklyn hasn't even played their best basketball, and they're atop of the East. And it wouldn't be James on a podcast if I didn't shout out the Bulls. So shout out the Bulls. Yeah. Shout out to Billy Donovan. But yeah. The Warriors, man. I think the Warriors I want one more. I want one more Warriors title before it's all said and done with this group.
You can tell that they sense it. Like they know this team has a chance. Like, Draymond is at such a different level than he's been at the last couple of seasons. He's reinvigorated by this. They built a bench out of dudes that either nobody wanted or were just trash last year.
Yeah.
Like Bielitsa, Otto Porter Jr., Gary Payton the second. Yeah, it's like, who are these guys? Yeah. Where did they come from? But they fit
Gary
perfectly.
Payton the second, yeah, Gary Payton 2.0, like, that's been such a find for them, right? Like, Juan Toscano-Anderson has developed, but that's the guy that they really had really in the mix last year. But, like, GP2 is just, like, where the fuck did he come
from?
Insane. Like, I know he's bounced around a little bit, but he's legitimately a good role player right now.
And I think Kerr deserves a lot of credit, too, because last season, when they were going through the lump, 2 seasons ago when they were going through the lumps, it would have been so easy to simplify things and just send Steph out and run pick and rolls 100 times a game and just win as many games as you could. But Kerr said, "Nah, we're going to do it the right way. We're going to keep building our offense because when it comes back around, we're going to need everybody to play in our style." And and so they took their lumps for 2 years. Guys didn't know how to play in that offense. Like, nobody knew how to do it. And now you're seeing it like they get it now. And everybody's so much better off because they stayed with those things over the 2 seasons when they were absolute trash.
And really quick, like, they obviously can make a trade. We talked about the pieces earlier that they could deal. But I'm still got a lot of stock in Wiseman. And I think when he gets back, like, I think he could take them to another level. I think he'll be ready.
Are you worried that he's still not back? Are you worried that he's not back yet?
Yeah, a little bit. It does seem – I wonder if it's because I wonder if they're not rushing him because they're playing so well. But then I also wonder if it's like a little worse than they were letting on, or they want to make sure he's healthy for when another GM calls their GM in. You never know. They got a move to make, man, like a big one, and it would be insane.
I do want them to just be like, fuck this.
Yes.
Like, we're just gonna throw everything on the table, and like, there's nothing anybody can do.
Do it.
Nothing anybody can do. Yeah. All right.
I kind of don't want that. Like, I think it's the best move for them, right? Like, I think going out and getting whoever would be the best move for them. But I also,
Dame is such a bad idea.
It is, but it's so fun.
As much of a cheat code as Kevin Durant was for them, it wasn't as fun to watch them when he was on the team. Right now, they've got that joy again, man. Like they've got that style
where it's just incredible. I like eliteness.
See,
I like kicking someone's ass up and down and what it forces other teams to do.
I love perfect basketball, man. And this team is playing such beautiful basketball. And
I'll say it. All right. Warriors, trade for Kevin Durant, you fucking cowards. And if you don't, your championship doesn't count. That's going to do it. Sleep out that. It's too aggressive. All right. That's going to do it for this week's point of contention.
Hey, but take out the New Orleans stuff.
This is Scan the Portland. I think on the first half of that podcast.
Don't Fat Boys on Fat Boys.
To all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors plus minus. Plus today with all the fat talk. Anything is potable. Down to dunk. No dunks. Blue guys. Sixers beat. Forum Club. Game notes. Michelle Beatles' new podcast. What Did I Miss? Jay King for James Edwards III. For Jade Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on the Athletic and subscribe.
Having a home. Hunted. Despised. Living like an animal. The jungle is my home. But I shall show the world that I can be its master. I shall perfect my own race of people. A race of atomic supermen that will conquer the world.
That's a wrap.